All right, let's go around the NFL first with a few news and notes. One is Darrell Taylor. Happy trails to the gentleman. Just returned from IR, and he will be moving on from the team as they need a spot for Jalen Reed, who is returning from IR. So it feels like it made sense. He's being released today per Aaron Wilson of KPRC too, and I feel like it made sense. He brought him in. Single year deal, and just wanted to see what you could have from an additional edge rusher, more of a speed guy, a little bit smaller, and that just didn't feel like it settled in for what you needed as a pass rushing team. And I don't think he was bad per se, but just what you have was so much better, and it all fit a little bit better with guys like Horton and Barnett that can utilize their size.
Yeah,
the quickness of Darrell Taylor didn't seem like it melded well with what you were doing, but. Yeah, I mean, he came in. It was worth a good effort to continue to give D'Amico Ryans more tools and weapons with this defense.
Yeah, for sure. It makes all the sense, especially, you're bringing in another safety position. Also, Ian Rapoport reporting this morning, we didn't mention this, Davis Mills did not travel.
He didn't.
With the team.
For good reason, though.
On the charter. Wife had a baby.
Yeah.
And Rapoport is now saying that he is, I guess, on his way. He's flying.
Yeah, he ain't flying with the team. He's flying there today. I guess.
And so he's on his way.
Congratulations.
We'll be available. Yes.
Yeah, congratulations to him. When I did see that email come across, was that yesterday? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that you'll need him. However, that's a little disconcerting, but no, he'll ultimately make it.
I don't know about that. I don't think you need him stuff, man. Well, quarterback get hurt.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But no need for any of those worries. All celebration as a welcome to the newest Mills in the world. Another Money Mills out here in these streets. Also, celebrations are in order for three Houston Texans who are all pros.
All pro, man.
Will Anderson Jr., which, do we have the audio here? I forgot about this one. And I might not have gotten it because I did forget. But Will Anderson Jr. finding out in a way that was a little bit odd. He thought that he was setting up an interview to talk with ESPN's Laura Rutledge. And then all of a sudden he's talking to somebody else. And he just took this as, well, somebody else is talking to me, you know, getting me ready. And then they broke it to him that he is a first team all pro. The man nearly fell out. He fell out of the frame. He was apoplectic in various different ways. Well deserved first team.
He was who?
Apoplectic. You can go ahead and put a drop if you have one. Yeah. It's been a while since
I missed a couple big words. You said something earlier. I was just like, huh? But you moved on quick, so I had time to play.
You just keep pushing, right? Yeah. But yes, a first team all pro for Will Anderson Jr., a first team all pro for the second straight year for all pro Sting, Derek Stingley Jr. And then a second-team All-Pro for a dude who feels always like he is somehow underappreciated, Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, and didn't make All-Pro. I mean, didn't make Pro Bowl, but he's second-team All-Pro.
I never understood this. I don't understand this at all, man.
I mean, the Pro Bowl, it's kind of amazing that we still use it to mean anything for ourselves anymore just because.
But still, I mean, how do it make sense, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game.
I'm an All-Pro, but, man, I missed out on the Pro Bowl.
Well, I mean, Pro Bowl got some voting elements to it and everything. It's become less and less important. I know for me, when we start talking about Hall of Fame accolades or whatever, Pro Bowl is last, just kind of additional.
It's just kind of cool. Yeah. But you don't put a lot of stock in it.
It's all about
that's
all
the sense
pros
you make of it.
Mind.
Yes.
That's the sense you make of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like whatever this is. But all pro, there's a pretty rigorous standard. And you know that in some of these, you got to be the top 2, 3, 4 in your position to be recognized. And so salute to Will, salute to Danielle, salute to Derek Stingley. I think that who would you view as the biggest snub? Because there's a couple of dudes who also received votes who were this close to not being an all pro.
Immediately you're happy, and then immediately you go to, well, who got snubbed?
There's two of them that you could easily make the case because they were legitimately the next vote in, although they were one place out when it came to votes.
I was thinking Fairbairn.
Kaimi is one of those ones that you could maybe look at. I think that's fair. The two that come to mind for me, Nico Collins, who was seventh in voting. And if you'll remember, first team has three wide receivers. Second team has three wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So he just barely missed out on being on the second team all pro. And then your guy, Jalen Petrie, Stafford's own, was just out as he was classified as a cornerback, a nickel or a slot cornerback. And so the likes of Derwin James and was it Cooper DeJean?
Yeah.
Also kept him out of that. And it kind of sucks that that's the case.
He's a man without a country.
Yeah. Emmanuel Acho was saying that he thought that at first he was classified as a safety, but then they made sure to classify him as a slot corner.
Yeah.
Do you blame that at all for this? Where do you lay blame for Jalen Petrie not being an all-pro?
Oh, yeah. I think, like I said, man without a country, you know, slot. Safety, who knows where, and maybe that affected, how the vote went. I think it's absolutely a factor.
I think also what's worth noting, and I think Emmanuel Acho was actually talking about this as well on social media, on offense, it feels like we've done a good job of accommodating to the modern era and putting some spots in for, you know, all-around players and three wide receivers with the, you know, pervasiveness of 11 personnel. Defense doesn't feel like, I mean, they have the slot corner, but it doesn't feel like it's fully acknowledged the different ways that defenses demonstrate themselves. And I feel like if we had a better representation of that defensively, that then you would have Jalen Petrie rightfully an all-pro this year.
No, and it's not just affecting him. It's affecting a lot of people. It's affecting a lot of people in terms of where they are, like I said, you know, sort of without a position.
All right, so some of these games wildcard-wise, there was some really interesting ones. Which game was most interesting to you, John Lopez, of the five that we got coming in here?
Well, clearly to me, it was Bills and Jaguars.
Bills-Jaguars. Bills 27, Jaguars 24. Mm-hmm. I mean, what caught your attention in here? Because I thought it was kind of amazing that the Jags actually did not – well, I guess it's not amazing, but they didn't embarrass themselves, which is kind of – they kind of become want to do that in the postseason. They do lose this game, which – haha, nanny nanny boo boo, right? But they did play very well. It came down to, for me, I thought Greg Newsom, I thought it was just singular cornerbacks that looked really bad. And the thought that came to mind, and I texted you guys this yesterday, would you be surprised if Travis Hunter comes back and they make him a cornerback solely? Because they have answers wide receiver wise. They went and got Jacoby
Myers.
They have
more answers than I thought.
They have more answer wide receiver wise. Yeah. Parker Washington, so on and so forth, who Parker Washington looked like he sustained quite a head injury in this game. But then you look at the cornerback side for the Jags and you go, ooh, you're kind of bereft.
Yeah.
Is this two-way experiment maybe ending just because of necessity of cornerback for them?
Well, I think necessity is the biggest factor, but also I think he could you're sort of not limiting him, you know, on both sides of the ball. He's just focused on one side, and I think he's clearly more equipped to be a cornerback. The other thing about this game that stood out to me, and you just kind of alluded to it a little bit, the Jaguars are for real, man. You know, we saw them at the end of the season, win streak, playing really well, winning games, but we were still kind of wondering about the postseason. They went toe to toe and easily could have or should have won this game.
How about your man Brandon Cook showing up in this, though?
Yeah.
Like, that was when I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Y'all not serious, Jags. Like, the passing defense ended up being an issue because you got Brandon Cooks out here styling on you. Mm-hmm. That felt a little wild.
I keep forgetting he played for the Bills, man. Yeah.
I did, too. Yeah. He made a couple of grabs in this game as he had three receptions. And I forgot who he was in this game in the middle of, like, between these grabs. Where I was like, oh, yeah, it's Brandon Cooks. And then later on, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, Brandon Cooks. I just saw him earlier in this game. But I guess salute to him for having that kind of performance. Because he looked good. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked good, which, again, I will use more as a opportunity to denigrate the Jaguars. Some other games that happened within this weekend. Second most interesting game. We're going to choose your own adventure here.
Bears-Packers.
Bears, 31. Good Lord, Packers, 27. This loss, interestingly enough, it felt like around the talking world, maybe the social media world of this, people started throwing Matt LaFleur's future into question. Mm-hmm. Did that feel fair at all to you that he could or should be fired after this game and their performance?
It really doesn't feel fair. It really doesn't. This was a meltdown. Yes, there were mistakes made. Caleb Williams, as we talked about already, you know, just made some absolutely spectacular plays. Boy, he is really coming and stepping up big time. But this was the Bears doing something that I just frankly didn't think they had in them. And Caleb Williams is the biggest reason and why.
I think that you see the places where Caleb Williams makes plays, and then you see some of the instances where Ben Johnson creates opportunities. And that is where you have the two most important offensive kind of positions for you on a team, which is your coordinator from the schematic perspective and your quarterback as the playmaker. both elevating what your team does, and they get you over your hated rival in the Packers. And I say hated rival for a very particular way.
Oh, they hate each other. Even
actually,
before.
Before I get there, yeah. Can I take a victory lap?
Yeah.
And it's a very dumb victory lap. Colston Loveland, 8 receptions, 137 mm-hmm. yards. Does anybody remember? You don't have to. It's just me trying to, you know, big up myself, which nobody cares about but myself. You remember when during the draft when it's like, hey, Colston Loveland or mm-hmm. Tyler Warren? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I pointed to was I think a lot of teams will like Colston Loveland because he fits a little bit cleaner and he feels a little bit more typical of a tight end, but he's good at it.
Yeah.
And he looked it, not just catching the football, but also people talked about him as more of a pass catcher and not being able to block. Mm-hmm. He was throwing some blocks out there, baby.
Man, he had an enormous game. Absolutely enormous. And I was really kind of trolling you when you brought this up in the text thread. I've always liked Warren, obviously, you know, as the number one tight end, but he was huge in this game. Absolutely. He was their number one receiver.
He was by far. DJ Moore had a number of receptions for 64 mm-hmm. yards, and he did have a touchdown within this one. But yeah, it was by far Colston Loveland getting the ball to him through the air. So that was fun. But yes, the hatred that exists.
Yeah.
Have you seen, well, actually, I know you've seen this, but these coaches do not like each other. And it seems like it dates as far back as at least publicly
mm-hmm.
Ben Johnson's, you know, his introductory press conference for the Bears, in which he said that he has enjoyed beating mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers. And there have been three meetings, obviously two in division and now
yeah.
this postseason game, where the postgame handshakes have been very quick.
Oh,
the first one was Matt LaFleur
yes.
very quickly moving away, and the other two were Ben Johnson. This one, he felt like he barely went skin to skin on the hands
sure
and then turned away.
And he was laughing when he did it. He was laughing. You see the other angle, he was just laughing in his face and shook his hand for a millisecond. Here's where I am with this feud. Now, Bears and Packers, one of the best heated rivalries
yes.
in all of sports,
yes.
whether it's fans, players, coaches, all that. But to me, this is like the silliest feud. There's got to be more to it. They have to have had some sort of beef already, and that's what led to Ben Johnson talking about, hey, I'd like to beat him. How is – it's like, that's why you're mad? Because he said, I like to beat the Packers twice a year? Who doesn't? You know, who doesn't want to beat their division rival twice?
Well, the idea of him saying, I like beating the Packers twice a year, and he was like, I enjoy beating Matt LaFleur. There's clearly something.
It's got to be more.
That
it's
they have had
yeah.
dating back to those games that they played, which is mm-hmm. funny because they're both offensive play callers.
Yeah.
I would have thought that maybe if this came to the fore, it had been the Packers' defensive play caller mm-hmm. because, you know, that time with the Lions, Ben Johnson was calling an offense against them.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened between them. And at this point, y'all have made it my problem,
yeah.
right? If y'all just kept this behind, I would not care. Y'all have made it my
y'all
problem.
Went
so
public.
Somebody tell me what happened,
yeah.
right? Like, somebody
yeah.
tell me, did he take your girl,
yeah.
right? What happened?
We in the
did
Facebook,
he not pay you back?
We in the Facebook comments like, what happened?
Yeah. Y'all brought this to the internet, so y'all got to tell me how this came to
give
be.
Us some privacy and all that stuff. No, we here now.
But isn't it silly on the surface?
I think it's very silly.
It is.
Especially if there's no context to it.
Yeah.
Like, don't just give us, oh, I hate the Bears or I hate the Packers. Nah, man, come on now.
Mm-hmm. But also, I kind of do enjoy instances where we get real hatred within a white rivalry, man. It makes it a different
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
We got time for one more.
49ers, Eagles.
49ers, 23. Eagles 19 in a battle, a game that still managed to be good, even though both of these teams looked not as great mm-hmm. for various reasons. The Eagles, because they have been underachievers for a number of years, particularly offensively, where the run, throw the ball deep idea did not work again.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners, this is such a great performance from the Niners, even as they lost more and more players. Obviously, you don't have Fred Warner in the middle of your defense. They managed to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
They lose George Kittle in the midst of this game to an Achilles injury. It's a regular season award, but did this highlight Kyle Shanahan's coach of the year, you know, perspective
well,
or
he won't
capabilities?
Win it.
You don't think so?
He won't win it, but what a freaking job that Kyle Shanahan did, even in the course of the game, you know, losing George Kittle, which, by the way, my man drank an entire bottle of tequila, reportedly.
Apparently, that sounds about right.
The owner went down there, said, what do you need? Obviously, Achilles. I think they've even reported torn Achilles.
Yes.
And so he's done for quite a while. And he said, I want a bottle of Patron. Owner sent it down there. And then Diana Rossini reported the bottle was empty. Last time.
Hey, why not at this point?
He drank an entire bottle of tequila. So there's that. There's Shanahan. there's the ability to win this game shorthanded on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yep.
And that's not even, to me, the biggest story.
Okay, what's the biggest story in your mind?
You can justify firing Sirianni. I think
yet another blow up with AJ Brown, very visibly on the sideline.
It wouldn't even be surprising because it's Philly. They fire people pretty quickly.
Not only would it not be surprising, I think you can justify it. A year removed from winning the Super Bowl, the AJ Brown blow up that he had on the sideline, previous sort of AJ Brown and others questioning, you know, Sirianni, the way they just completely imploded, looked lost, you know, lost at various moments in this game. Disjointed offensively, like they did, so much talent. That's ultimately what haunts a lot of coaches. How can you lose with this talent that you have? Like, I normally would be like, come on, the guy just won a Super Bowl last year. I think you can justify it.
This is Kevin Stefanski, entirely different person. Nick Sirianni's response post game to what was being said between him and AJ Brown on the sidelines.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to get him off the field, you know, because we were about to punt, and that was really it. So I love AJ. I think he knows how I feel about him. I have a special relationship with him. Probably went through every emotion you can possibly have together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've yelled at each other, but I love him.
You weren't getting him off the field. That was the portion of the program where you've yelled at each other.
Yeah.
You know me. I've been somewhat of a Sirianni hater here because the question has been, why does your offense, you as an offensive guy, constantly look like this?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Petullo absolutely is not going to be there next year. He's been bad for them. However, in this game, you see there's a lack of pride and a lack of get it done on that side. Damn near all of your primary playmakers dropping balls or not making plays.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith drops. Mm-hmm. Obviously, AJ Brown, notably a number of drops. Goddard, who made a play but also had a drop in this game. And then even your quarterback did not look all that great. Saquon didn't look all that great. Some of this you have to take to the players, but then I think indirectly all of this points back to why do your players not look inspired, mm-hmm. and why is your schematics look so damn bad in this moment? That's been the question I've had for Sirianni, but we'll see ultimately how that plays out. And then AJ Brown, man, that does look nasty for you to have all of this. Why am I not involved? And then in the instances where you are, drop catchable football. So that's some of the stuff that happened around the NFL wildcard weekend. We didn't even get to one of the weirdest ones, the one that started us off, Rams-Panthers. Maybe we'll find time as we continue on in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, there's a lot of Knicks on this team. Nick Cayley. Talked on Friday, and I thought he had some interesting things to say about this offense headed into this wild card game. We'll break that down next.